Welcome to this podcast about Brady Glacier and Taylor Bay in Alaska. The article is produced by Coast View, written by Dr. Carl Schock, and read by Inara, an AI-generated voice. Scroll down to see pictures, maps, and dozens of embedded links to additional information. Please consider subscribing to enjoy more articles and podcasts at coastview.org. Brady Glacier lies in Glacier Bay National Park and Preserve, flowing from the Brady Ice Field at 11,942 feet in the Fairweather Range of the St. Elias Mountains to Taylor Bay on Cross Sound's North Shore, about 139 miles southeast of Yakutat and 32 miles west of Gustavus, Alaska. The largest ice stream in the Fairweather Range, it stretches 32 miles and covers 126,518 acres. Sharing its accumulation area with the Reed and Lampalue glaciers, it flows south and terminates above sea level in an outwash plain and tidal delta 3.7 miles north of Taylor Bay. Taylor Bay, 3.4 miles wide, extends northwest from Cross Sound for 4.5 miles to the mouth of the Brady River. It was named by William Healy Dahl of the U.S. Coast and Geodetic Survey, possibly for H.C. Taylor of the U.S. Navy in command of the SS Hassler, the hydrographic survey ship used in Cross Sound at that time. That same year, the survey named Brady Glacier for Reverend John G. Brady, a missionary who later governed the District of Alaska from 1897 to 1906, before resigning amid fraud allegations linked to the Reynolds Alaska Development Company. Glacier Bay's topography results from the collision of the North American and Pacific plates. The Fairweather Queen Charlotte Fault cuts its western edge and has guided the northwest movement of the Pacific Plate and Yakutat microplate for over 50 million years. As the Pacific Plate is forced beneath its North American counterpart, fragments of island arcs, seafloor, and continental margin are scraped off and accreted. The peninsula between Taylor Bay and the Pacific comprises mainly the Chugach Terrain, extending from the western Alaska Peninsula to southeast Alaska. It is composed of gray wacky and siltstone that become increasingly metamorphosed northeastward. Beneath Brady Glacier, the Tar Inlet Suture Zone marks the boundary between the Chugach and older Alexander Terrain, whose rocks, over 500 million years old, were displaced from an equatorial region about 100 million years ago. During the last glacial maximum, the Cordilleran ice sheet covered southeast Alaska and extended onto the continental shelf. It began retreating about 20,000 years ago as the Fraser glaciation ended, eventually leaving most of the region ice-free. Periodic advances occurred during the Holocene, the most recent in the Little Ice Age, when cooling stretched from the 16th to the mid-19th century. Glaciers advanced until Glacier Bay was completely blanketed by the Glacier Bay ice field. Around 1770, the ice front began its retreat. These shifts highlight the dynamic interplay between climate change and glacial activity. Glacier Bay's glaciers have been documented since 1794, when Captain George Vancouver visited. A survey party led by Lieutenant Joseph Whidbey recorded that the southern terminus of the Glacier Bay ice field lay in Icy Strait. A submarine terminal moraine indicates the terminus extended into Icy Strait and bordered Lemassurier Island between 1725 and 1794. Vancouver sailed into Taylor Bay and observed Brady Glacier as a calving tidewater glacier. Sometime in the 1800s, the glacier ceased calving and advanced about 5 miles, a likely example of a tidewater glacier cycle in which an advance follows a change from tidal to non-tidal status. During the 19th century, the glacier receded, building the outwash plain that now separates it from Taylor Bay. Between 1926 and 1977, the plain expanded by more than 2.5 miles and over 4,942 acres. Compared with other glaciers in Glacier Bay National Park, Brady Glacier's terminus has remained remarkably stable while gradually constructing its outwash plain. Yet this apparent stability conceals substantial thinning. Measurements from 1995 to 2000 documented an annual loss of 0.12 cubic miles of ice, and thinning along the terminus and margins has led to the formation of several ice marginal lakes. These findings underscore the importance of considering both glacier extent and thickness when assessing glacial change. Glacier-dammed lakes and their outburst floods can inflict severe downstream damage and alter glacier dynamics. The largest, most hazardous lakes form in ice-free tributary valleys blocked by active glaciers, while smaller lakes appear in alcoves along glacier margins or in depressions where tributary glaciers converge. Most occur in the lower reaches. Once a depression is closed off by a glacier, it begins to fill with meltwater and rain runoff from the surrounding basin. The resulting lake continues to fill until the water overflows a bedrock saddle or initiates a self-dumping process at the ice dam. Lake failure may begin when a channel forms under, through, or over the ice dam. Causes include slow plastic yielding under hydrostatic pressure, flotation that lifts the dam, crack propagation from glacier flow combined with high pressure, drainage through pre-existing channels at the ice-rock interface, overflow along the dam margin, subglacial melting from volcanic heat, and seismic weakening. These mechanisms, acting singly or in combination, can rapidly undermine the dam's integrity. Once a leak forms, ice melting quickly enlarges the breach. Brady Glacier's main terminus has remained relatively stable for 130 years, yet between 1948 and 2000, the margins of the glacier retreated up to 1.2 miles and downwasted up to 404 feet, adjacent to 10 large ice-dammed lakes. Six of the 10 lakes are subaerial or on the surface, and four are subglacial or primarily underneath the glacier. In seven of the 10 lakes, the glacier has a calving margin that exceeds 0.6 miles. These lakes, along with numerous smaller ones, range from new or emergent to stable, non-draining, or periodically draining. This variability reflects the complex interplay of climatic conditions and glacier mechanics. Calving margins of glacier-dammed lakes resemble those of tidewater glaciers. Once in equilibrium, climatic perturbations can thin tidewater glaciers, causing loss of grounding on stabilizing shoals and triggering calving that outpaces replenishment, sometimes leading to catastrophic retreat. Such dynamics underscore the hazards posed by ice dam lakes and the need for ongoing monitoring. Monitoring these systems is critical to mitigating risks and understanding glacial behavior. Thank you for listening. Read the article below for more information, including dozens of links to source material and references. Please subscribe to learn more about the West Coast of North America at coastview.org.